We have a ton of announcements. So first of all, I just want to welcome any visitors we might have with us today, and then we'll go right into the announcements. We want to thank Reverend Wayne Phoebens for coming for as our guest speaker today. Bill is still on vacation, but Bill will be back on Monday. And he and Marion are celebrating their 35th wedding anniversary this weekend, so congratulations to them. We have coming up a luncheon sale, which is on a separate insert in your bulletin, and it is on October 22nd, which is next Saturday, 11 till 1 at the Nicktaw Christian Family Center, and it is put on by the Baptist Friendly Club, and there are yard sale items, baking and jams and pickles. I think everybody who has been before knows how great this is. The lunch that day is soup, chowder, and chili, rolls, dessert, tea, and coffee for $5, so everybody's welcome to that. On the back side of that, we have the CBM prayer line, and I won't read the whole thing, but down at the bottom, it does have a section that's titled Transition, and we ask you to remember our two most recently appointed couples, Wayne and Maureen Morgan, and Randy and Elizabeth Legacy, in your prayers as they continue to raise support prior to moving into their ministries overseas. So I would highlight that for you, but you can read the rest of that on your own. And then there's another little insert in your bulletin that says Ministry of the Month is our daily bread. So on your offering envelopes, you can designate some money to our daily bread, and it will go directly to them. And then we just have on that same little insert, this is actually a really good one to keep, I would think, because it has your pastor information and his phone numbers, the bulletin information and where that goes, because that goes to Jerry Marshall when you have something that you want put in the bulletin. And it also has our website address and information on that little insert. So maybe Bill did that intentionally, but that's a great little one to keep and stick on the fridge. Then we'll go into our main bulletin. Like I said, there's lots of announcements this morning. Sunday, October 16th, which is today, 2 o'clock this afternoon, there's a gospel concert at the Ingusville Baptist Church featuring South Wind. Everyone welcome. I'm not familiar with South Wind, but some of you might be. Monday, October 17th at 1:30, there's a mission board meeting at the CFC. 7 o'clock tomorrow is the Torbrook quarterly business meeting at in the church vestry. Now, I know that's a change from what it originally was, so just take note of that. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening at the CFC is the men's group. New members are always welcome. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening is a ladies' auxiliary meeting in the parlor, and again, new members are always welcome. Tuesday, choir practice at the church for the Christmas program. Wow, Christmas is coming. So, yeah, Macise is clapping, and Christmas is coming. We're not all going to clap for that, but that's the first practice for the Christmas program for the choir. 2 o'clock is the ABW invites all women to the Middleton Baptist Church to hear Ellen Simpson speak about her trip to Brazil. And 1:30, the Nicktaw Baptist Friendly Club members are going to the Middleton Baptist Church to hear her speak. So members are asked to meet at the CFC by 1:30 to arrange for rides. 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening is a ladies' Bible study at the home of Nellie Thompson, and I know for sure new members are always welcome there. And 7 o'clock, the Torbrook Bible study this week is at the home of Kathleen Bardo. And she knows about it now. Last week it was in the bulletin and Bill hadn't asked her yet, so this week we know it's there. 10 o'clock on Wednesday, October 19th, is the crafters will meet in the parlor and bring a light lunch. New members always welcome. Thursday, October 20th, 6:30, the Bible study in the parlor at the CFC. I know that they didn't have it last week because of Bill's vacation, but he's back on this week. 7:30 is the Christian Ed meeting in the parlor following the Bible study. And Friday, October 21st, the Friendly Club will meet at the CFC to get ready for the lunch and sale on Saturday. And no youth group next week because we are going to challenge in New Minas. So please keep us in prayer. And we're always accepting ongoing donations of bottles. So if you have any, you can drop them off at the CFC and designate them to the youth group. That would be great. That's been actually a really good fundraiser for us. It's just a few dollars here and there, but it adds up really quickly. So we appreciate that. And 7 o'clock on Sunday, next Sunday, is a closing service for the Mount Hanley Baptist Church to be held with the guest speaker of Ron Baxter and special music by Pastors Ron and Karen Purdy. That's kind of a sad thing, but the closing of the Mount Hanley Church will take place then. And speaking of our youth group and raising money, some of us are anxious to hear this. It's too bad the Shilladays aren't here. Some of our kids aren't here. But anyway, we went to Sobeys yesterday to do our annual fundraiser there. And we did it in two shifts. So some of us were from 10 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon. And then the other shift was from 1 until 4. And the first shift made $188.92. And the second shift made $233.98. For a grand total of $422.90 yesterday. So kudos to the youth group because they just did a great job. And people really appreciate seeing the kids out doing that. And we have lots of opportunity to tell them about youth group and why we're raising money. So it's really a great cause, and it's a great way to get out there and evangelize. So thank you to the youth group and to the leaders who were there with me yesterday. It's kind of boring for the leaders. Thank you. We just get to stand around and supervise the kids, but it's still a good time because we know it's for a great cause, and the kids really enjoyed it yesterday. They said they were busy, so being busy, and I know one of our kids actually ended up on one of the registers with a guy from his school, but he's a year ahead of him in school. So they've never even spoke before, but they knew each other just in passing. But after yesterday, they're now friends. So that was awesome. Okay, I think that's it for announcements. If anybody else has an announcement that we haven't had yet, you could let us know right now. If you have something else, no? Good. Okay, let's go to our call to worship. And this morning I noticed that Wayne's message is the wonder of God's love. So our call to worship is found on page 814 of your pew Bibles. I'm sure you won't even have to look because we all know this one. I decided to choose John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And our responsive reading is on the back of your bulletins, entitled The Majesty of God. Our Lord and Ruler, your name is wonderful everywhere on earth. You let your glory be seen in the heavens above.
Gracious from children and from kind infants, you have built a fortress. You make your enemies silent, and all who turn against you are left speechless.
I often think of the heavens your hands have made, and of the moon and stars you put in place. Then I ask, why do you care about us humans? Why are you concerned for us weaklings?
You made us a little lower than yourself, and you have crowned us with glory and honor.
You let us rule everything your hands have made, and you put all of it under our power.
The sheep and the cattle and every wild animal, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and all ocean creatures.
Our Lord and Ruler, your name is wonderful everywhere on earth. Okay, we have a choir special this morning.
There's a new song in my heart. song in my heart since the Savior set me free.
There's a new song in my heart. 'Tis a heavenly harmony. All my sins are washed away in the blood of Calvary. Oh, what peace and joy nothing can destroy.
Thank you, choir. And we're going from that read into hymn number 45, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Yes, please stand. Let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the laughter. Thank you for this church family. And thank you that every day the sun rises. Be with all of those around the world who don't enjoy the freedom to worship you. Help us to be mindful of all of those who have gone before us that have made that possible for us. Thank you for all who are here and be with all of those who are not able to be here today. We especially ask that you watch over our Pastor Bill and his family while they continue on their vacation. And be with us now, and may all that we say and all that we do be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And may we have the ushers come forward for our offering. Please join us in singing our doxology, which is number 166 in your hymn book. Father, please accept these, our offerings. It is but a small portion of all that you give us. Help us to use it wisely and in a manner that would be agreeable with your will. We thank you for this and everything in Jesus' name. Amen. I think Bill, I don't know if he purposely did this or not, but we have all the prayers in order today, all together, one after the other. So I'm going to ask now if there's any prayer requests. I have a few on my list already, but any others that we might pray for this morning? Let's go before God in prayer. Father, help us. Help us to be grateful for all that we have. Compared to all of the people that we have just heard named, Lord, we are very fortunate just to be here and in good health. Health well enough to be here anyway. Father, help us to see also that we are some of the most wealthy people. Help us to see our wealth not just in material belongings, but in the things that really count, like this church family, the relationships we have, friendships, family, faith, and our Holy Spirit, Lord, all of the things that are everlasting. Help us to be mindful of those things that are most important. And Father, we have many prayer requests that you've heard this morning, and two or three at least are about cancer, Lord. We pray for Linda Farron and her ongoing battle, for Lormer, and for Frank Rodding, Lord, all with cancer. And Father, you are more than aware how horrible that disease is. We just lift those people up to you. And Father, we pray for Serge's dad, who is having problems with his heart, has had a pacemaker put in, and Father, we pray for Victor that he would just feel better because he has the pacemaker. And Father, that he would now find a huge difference in his abilities and what he is able to do without having more difficulties. Father, we pray for Linda and we pray for her dog this morning. Father, we just ask that you just continue to put your healing hand upon her dog, Father, we know that there are people here that their pets are their children, Lord, and they are most important in their lives. So, Father, we want to keep that in mind as we say these prayers that, Father, some of us don't have children, but our pets are those. Father, we continue to pray for the youth, not just the youth of our church, but youth around the world. And Father, we especially pray for the youth rally that we're having at the end of the month. All the visitors that are coming, Father, I would just pray over that event and pray over the people that are going to attend. And Father, we ask that you just now, Father, prepare their hearts and their minds for what they're going to hear and what they're going to see. And Father, we thank you that you always go before us. So I already know that you are preparing for that event. We ask for continued prayer for all of the students at Acadia Divinity College and the college itself, Lord. There are so many people that are lost, and so many people have no one else. And Father, just help us to see those people that need your helping hand through us. Father, we pray for Margaret Annis, who is in hospital. We pray for Carolyn, who has had an operation. Father, we pray for ongoing chemo and radiation treatments for Yvonne. Father, you are aware of all of these situations. You're aware of all the people here who have them in their hearts, Lord. And we just ask that you continue to be with each and every one of them. And continue, Father, to remind not just the people here and ourselves, but the people that we have listed in our prayer requests, that you are always with them. That no matter what happens, no matter what they're going through, that you are right beside them. You never move, Father. And we thank you for that promise that you never leave us or forsake us. We are mindful, Lord, that we are the ones who move away. And Father, help us to move towards you in those times of need and those times of troubles. And Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day and thank you for all the people here who are taking part. We are so fortunate in this church. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we have another hymn, number 648. Please stand.
Faithful.
Thank you. Please be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is found on page 815 in your pew Bibles. And this is a section that's entitled Jesus and the Samaritan Woman. I probably heard this many, many, many times before it struck me one day how important this particular section of scripture is. For me, she became my hero because it was Jesus saying to her that no matter what your life was before this, this is what it can be now. So join me in reading from 7 to 12, I think. It's 7 to 12. Sorry, first it's, oh, okay. It's not the Samaritan woman? It is. 1 John chapter 4. So I have the wrong scripture. I apologized. Wait. Okay. I have that highlighted in my Bible too. Okay. 1 John, which is on page 958 we are now, and verses 7 to 12. It's called Loving One Another, actually. But that's okay. We had a little side trip there to the Samaritan woman. So on page 958, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. Loving one another. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love has been brought to full expression through us. Now, for those of you who don't know our guest speaker this morning, most of you do, but for those of you who don't, I do have a short introduction here. Wayne Bevens was born to Christian parents and grew up in Yarmouth, which is where I also grew up, so we have that in common. After 3 years in banking and 5 years in real estate appraisal for taxation purposes, he was called by God to pastoral ministry. Concluding his studies at Acadia Divinity College, Wayne pastored in the following churches: Sydney Mines Baptist Church, Nicktaw Baptist Church, Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, New Minas Baptist Church, and West End Baptist Church in St. John's, Newfoundland. On May 1st, 2001, he assumed the position of regional ministry for this fourth Southwestern Nova Scotia. His wife is Debbie, and they have four sons: Dustin, Sean, Jonathan, and Christopher. Please welcome Wayne Fevens.
Thank you for the introduction, and I have to tell you, it's the first time I've ever received an applause to come preach a sermon. Oh, my. How long does something have to happen before it becomes a tradition, right? I think in the 8 years that I've been invited here in October, I think there was one that was missed, but it's almost a tradition. It's a tradition I look forward to and enjoy coming back and visiting with very special friends that we made, Debbie and I made while we were here. As you gathered, the message this morning is focusing on love. And believe it or not, well, I guess you probably would believe it, looking at my age, looking at who I am, but we've been married 41 years, Debbie and I. And during that course of time, there's always been, as is in all marriages, there's challenges to the love you have for one another. And right now, the last few years, the challenge in our lives has been the fact that Debbie likes to tell me how to drive. And even in Yarmouth, where there's about, like when you go to the mall, there's about three or four different ways to go there, and I'll choose one. She'll say, "Why'd you go that way?" And so the next time I'll go, "Well, which way did you think I should go?" "Well, that one." So the next time I go that way, she says, "Well, why'd you choose that way?" And it's, you know, and when we were in a city, Halifax, we both know, but still she's given me directions of how to get there. And when we were in when we go to Fredericton, well, we don't go there now, but we had two sons studying at UNB. And we would go there, and you know, I drove enough in the city after that period of time that I knew where I was going when I was going somewhere. But Debbie was always trying to give me instructions, and the boys were sitting in the back, and they were just roaring, laughing at us, you know, because we get into squabbles. I mean, I just pout or whatever, you know, after a while. And so last Christmas, our kids sent us a GPS. And so they called and asked what I thought of the GPS, and I said, it's just great, but I suspect that Debbie will argue with the voice on that too. So our love gets tested once in a while. And I want to focus a lot, though, on God's love. God is love, is what was read this morning in the passage from 1 John. And we are all very, very familiar. In fact, it was quoted earlier as well this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, someone has said that God's love is like a stream that never freezes, like a fountain that never runs dry, and like the sun that never sets, a sun that never sets. And failure to grasp or believe this beautiful truth, this wonderful truth, has resulted for so many people, to end up in depression and despair. If you don't know God's love, 29-year-old bachelor in California committed suicide and left a note which simply read, you have to have someone to love and be loved. The Bible says that the source of all love is God. 1 John 4:8 reminds us that, as I said, God is love. John says God is love, not God is like love, or God has love, or his heart has some love in it, but God is love. That's his character. That's his makeup. That's his substance, his very nature, that of love. And of course, you know, this morning I'm not speaking on justice, but we know justice is another part of it as well. But God, his very nature, John says, is love. Every single action he takes is sifted through his loving character. And because we are made in his image, John says, because we're made in the image of God, we have the capacity to love as well. Maybe not to the certainly not to the degree that God loves, but we have the capacity to love. Every loving act that every human being does has its source in God, because we are created in God's image. Have you noticed that it's hard to describe God? Somebody comes and asks you, well, you know, this God you're talking about, can you describe him for me? A little boy was busy with crayons and paper, and he was just a scribbling away at the kitchen table, and his dad came over to him and asked, well, son, what are you drawing? And he said, a picture of God. His father shook his head and said, no one has ever seen God. No one knows what he looks like. They will when I'm done, the little boy said. Yeah. No matter what age we are, no matter how artistic we are, no matter whether we use paint or crayons, we can never adequately describe God. He's too big for our words, too big for our thoughts. He wouldn't be God if he wasn't that big. Sometimes things that are most real to us, things that are the most precious to us, are the things that we really find hard to describe. Ever notice that? God is like that too. Love is like that. It's hard to describe love. How do you describe love? Why is it you really love your husband or your wife or your child or your parent or your friend? It's hard to logically talk about love. I mean, it's hard to explain why the person you love is different from somebody else's husband or wife or parent or child or friend. I'm sure we've all thought at one time or another, I don't know what she sees in him. You know? understanding love. Oh, well, it could be vice versa. I mean, let's be fair here. equal opportunity. But, you know, we don't understand completely why it is we're drawn to this person or to that person, and we love them, or why somebody else is drawn to the person that they love. However, the heart has its reasons, and there is a kind of love that is illogical. The Old Testament book talks about, there's the book of Hosea, recounts a love story in it. Hosea marries a woman named Gomer. Now, I would never punish a girl by a baby by naming it Gomer. When I think of my name, Gomer Pyle, a television program years ago. But Gomer, that was her name. And he loved her deeply. But she became a prostitute. And the natural thing, the logical thing for him to do was simply to write her off, to drop her like a hot potato, to have nothing more to do with her. But the story in Hosea tells us that he didn't do that. He took her back because he loved her, it says. Even though her children were the result of prostitution. That's illogical love. And God uses this story to describe his love for the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. Time and time again, the people of Israel, they disobeyed God. And you can read the cycle. There's seven cycles of this misbehavior in the Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, how they it gets kind of boring after a while almost, because you read how they love God and then they prostitute themselves before idols and of the countries around them and worship them. And then God allows a tragedy to come. Usually it's another nation that attacks them, and there's war and the rest of it. And then they plead to God, "Oh God, forgive us, and we'll never do it again." And God embraces them, takes them back again. And that cycle goes seven times in the Kings. And when you read the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and them, they're still at it. Come to think of it, so are we, when you think about it sometimes. And so, like Hosea, God is torn between love and anger. How can I leave you, Ephraim? How can I surrender you to others, O Israel? But God refused to wipe his hands of the nation. And each time, as I say, he accepted them back. That seems illogical, doesn't it? But love doesn't live by the rules of logic. And we can be thankful for that. You and I should really thank God that we're not loved because of what we are. That would be logical. The truth of the matter is, my wife loves me in spite of who I am sometimes. Often you and I are loved in spite of who we are, and that's really illogical. But it happens, and aren't you glad that it does? I am. Anyone who thinks that he or she is loved because of just their virtues is in trouble. Most of us are loved in spite of our faults, right? There are many kinds of love, and I'm talking of two here. The natural kind, which is logical love, you know, that kind of love that loves lovely things or lovely people. We all find it easy to appreciate the beautiful things, and we can fall in one sense in love with them, so to speak. But and lovely people, gracious, kind, and loving people, we can find it so easy to love those kind of people. That's a logical way. That's the natural way. But there's another kind of loving that's doesn't look for value in things before it loves it, but rather creates value in something because it does love it. Some things are loved because they're valuable. Some things are valuable because they're loved. Let me give you an example. Our oldest son, Dustin, had a teddy bear. He's 37 now. But when Dusty When this little blue, when this blue teddy bear entered Dusty's life, he was only a year old. His Debbie's sister sent it to him his first Christmas. And there was nothing extraordinary about the bear, I have to tell you. It was blue and woolly and plastic eyes, and that didn't even speak like half the teddy bears do today. But Dusty sure hugged and loved that bear. It was his steady companion. I mean, he wouldn't leave it. And I think you know what I'm talking about, that kind of love. I mean, everybody's got a teddy bear or a rag doll in the family. In Peanuts, Linus had his blanket. Well, that was like a teddy bear. And in MASH, Radar actually did have a teddy bear. And the Velveteen Rabbit really is a teddy bear, by the way. Everybody knows that. Well, as the years went by, this teddy bear became the most valuable, the most precious thing that Dusty owned. There were other toys that he received that cost a lot more. They were fancier and nicer, but he loved that bear. And we were on one trip when we were coming from Sydney Mines to Yarmouth, and we were 20 miles outside of Sydney Mines, and we realized we had left a family member home, the blue bear. Well, we went back to get him, 20 miles. I mean, he was a member of the family. How could you leave him? How could we leave him behind? Well, as the years went by, that bear, that teddy bear, created problems because it became more grubby and less blue. It accumulated its share of dirt. And if you tried to clean up the bear, it became more ragged. If you didn't clean it up, it became more dirty. So the sensible thing to do, the logical thing to do, was to face facts. The bear was never worth that much. Nothing more than fabric and plastic and stuffing. And now ragged and dirty stuffing, or plastic and so on. So the sensible thing and the logical thing to do was really to just simply trash the bear. Now, I can look at you and see that you've already fallen in love with that blue bear. I have to assure you that we didn't do that. Because there it is. There he is. There's that seventh member of our family, not counting our cats we've had over the years. To trash that bear was unthinkable. It would be blasphemous. If you loved our kid, if you loved Dustin, you had to love the bear. It was just a package deal. It really was. And so, illogical, wasn't it? But that's how it happens. Remember, some things are loved because they're valuable, and some things are valuable because they're loved. Well, you and I are God's teddy bears. Ragged around the edges, soiled at times, and dirty. But what makes us so valuable is that we are loved by God. Max Licata once wrote in one of his books, "If God had a wallet, your picture would be in it. If God had a fridge, your picture would be stuck on it." There's a beautiful verse in Jeremiah 31. It says, "Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself." Isn't that a wonderful picture of God? Someone who draws others to himself because of love. It's through Jesus Christ that we gain that understanding of what love, God's love, is all about. And as we read the gospel story, we're reminded that Jesus is God's Son. "I and the Father are one," he said, "one in nature and one in love." And so as we see God in Jesus, we're drawn to him just like filings are drawn to a magnet. And that's why it's so important we have to demonstrate and live God's love in the community in which we live. so that people see Jesus in us and see the love of Jesus in us and recognize it, that it is a love that comes from God, and they're drawn to Him, to Jesus. The writer of the Gospel, John, describes himself as a disciple whom Jesus loved. And you know, people sometimes get a little, they struggle with that. You know, was John really that egotistical that he was the only one that Jesus loved? Was he that conceited? Was he really Jesus' favorite disciple? I think if we had John sitting here today and we asked him about it, I think he'd probably say this. He'd probably say, the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me was that Jesus loved me. Before then, I never had a reason to even love myself. My father Zebedee was too busy fishing to pay any attention to me. My mother was a very competitive woman, was always pushing me and my brother to be the first in everything. And my brother James was terribly competitive himself, competing with me. And then there was a day came when Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee and he called me. He had time for me. He had no goals or objective towards me, just he didn't make me feel that I had to be number one in order to earn his love. He simply took delight in who I was. He enjoyed my company and we were friends. And it's a miracle to me, John would say, but he did love me. And that's why I refer to him as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, I think that's what John would say in defending himself. Then the reason I say that is because the pattern is repeated over and over in the New Testament, over and over in the Gospels. God in Jesus Christ drawing people to him because of his love, because he is the source of love. John, in his old age, wrote, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love becomes more perfect. The words of a wise old man in his 90s. But love to be true must be sacrificial, doesn't it? You're not married very long before you realize that you do sacrifice for one another if you're truly in love with each other. The extent of God's love is not fully appreciated until we visit Calvary's cross. In The Fiddler on the Roof, the musical, Tevye asks his wife, Goldie, if she really loved him. And she is slow to answer. So he persists until she responds by recounting all that she's done for him. And then she demands, if that's not love, what is? Perhaps you have a poster or have seen a poster that reads, I looked up to my Heavenly Father and asked, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms on Calvary's cross and said, this much. This much. True love is at times sacrificial. Dr. Walter Wilson tells a story of a woman who came to him for spiritual help. And when he asked her if she could quote any part of Scripture that she once learned, she said, yes, I remember from Sunday school, John 3:16. And Dr. Wilson said, well, would you quote it for me? And she said, okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life.